The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio appreciates the support from our sponsors. Make sure you check out these great companies. Sun Warrior, the pioneers of plant-based protein. Go to sunwarrior.com and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Enviromedica, makers of Terraflora and new Immuniflora. Learn more at enviromedica.com. Castor and Pollux, extraordinary pet food that has set the new standard of purposeful pet food. Paleo Magazine is now all digital, so you can go to paleomagazine.com and subscribe. Also, the Wellbeing Journal, combining physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and social aspects of health. Veg World Magazine. Sign up and get a free online subscription at vegworldmag.com. The International Society of Sports Nutrition, the only nonprofit academic society dedicated to sports nutrition and supplementation. Learn more at sportsnutritionsociety.org. And Thorne Research, redefining what it means to be well and pushing the limits of human potential. Go to the sponsor page at oneliferadio.com for links and listener discounts. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
Go higher, baby. You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. Everyone, this is Bernadette with Junior in the Mix. We are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. Junior, how you doing? Did you have a great weekend?
I did. It was a busy weekend, but it was good. And it was one of those weekends where it was so busy. I was actually looking forward to Monday. So,
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But
yeah.
No, it was good. I had a good time. How was yours?
Yeah, my good. I did a lot of work around the house. I spent 7 hours cleaning the hood over my stove and my stove.
Oh, wow.
Like the two things yesterday. Full body sweat. I'm talking about grinding it. But you know, it felt good. And I have to tell you, when I woke up this morning, it was like, oh my gosh, you don't realize what a workout you're getting.
Yeah.
When you're, you know, I have this big hood over my stove. I have a big stove. I have a 6-burner. It's a full commercial stove and hood. And I mean, I haven't cleaned a hood like that in years. I mean, it's been years since I've, you know, owned one of the, you know, a Pizza Patron or Wingstop and actually been in there cleaning the hood, which I did many, many times. But you forget.
Yeah.
What a workout it is.
I watch that show Bar Rescue all the time. And he goes into restaurants and helps them renovate and stuff. And all the time, that's what he always shows. You have to clean the hood, and it always looks so disgusting.
Yeah.
Like these restaurants that don't clean them.
And
then he comes in, he's like, "How long has it been?" And they're like, 5-6 years. Yeah, so that's some work.
Yeah,
that's some. You got to put in a lot of elbow grease to get that cleaned.
I did, and I didn't use any chemicals, by the way. I did all elbow grease and just good old fashioned Bon Ami and I think it was Sprouts pear scented dishwashing soap.
Gotcha.
And just let them soak in hot, sudsy water for hours. But feels good to work hard, and it feels good to be back on the air. I think this is the first time I've sat in like 72 hours. But we have a fantastic show for you today, and I'm so honored always to introduce Mary Holland. She serves as a president and general counsel of the Children's Health Defense. She left the faculty of New York University School of Law, where she served for 17 years, most recently directing its graduate lawyering program. Mary received her Master's of Arts and Juris Doctorate degrees from Columbia University and her undergraduate degree from Harvard. She has worked tirelessly, I might add, in international public and private law. Mary is the co-author of the book of Vaccine Epidemic and the HPV Vaccine on Trial, Seeking Justice for a Generation Betrayed. Their website is childrenshealthdefense.org. Always an honor and a pleasure. Mary Holland, how are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you so much. Always a pleasure and honor to be on with you, Bernadette.
I appreciate you saying that. You know, and I have to tell you, Mary, it's so funny. Friday night, I was preparing for a teenage sleepover on Saturday, which I had, and then I spent all day Saturday cleaning it up. But like I said, it's been a busy weekend. But my dear friend Maria, who's a dear friend and someone who I've employed for many, many years. So we were sitting around the pool after we did all the work, and the kids were in the pool too, because her kids, you know, are like my kids. They were all playing in the pool, and so She told me, she said, Bernadette, I took, and I'm not going to name her child, but one of her, she's got five children. She took one of them to the pediatrician. She said, and they did what you told me that they might do sometime. I said, what's that? She said, they tried to intimidate me and force me to, and told me that if I don't get this shot, that I could potentially put one of my daughters in danger of getting cancer. Okay. And of course, we're talking about the HPV vaccine, which you wrote a whole book about. So, you know, and her little daughters that were down at that end of the pool go, Mommy, you're starting to sound like Bernadette. And I'm like, great. but of course, I immediately thought of you. I'm like, yes, I got to send you home with a copy of the book, the HPV vaccine.
That's great.
But, you know, it's crazy. You know, it's crazy that they have this agenda to intimidate parents. And I know you write about it in the book, the disease branding or selling cervical cancer. Can we talk about that?
Sure. I mean, the saddest part is, Bernadette, that probably this pediatrician, he's not a gynecologist. They get their information from the American Academy of Pediatrics, and the AAP says, push this. And probably the insurance company that the family was with, probably that company will give her a bonus if, let's say, 95% of her patients between age 12 and 17 get the HPV vaccine. So there are these financial incentives. So probably it's the case that that doctor is in the dark. She hasn't seen the HPV vaccine injuries. She hasn't read about them. She would say that if anybody says there's a problem, they're just an anti-vaxxer, and she would just dismiss that. And she would say, I trust the information I get as a physician from the Centers for Disease Control, from the FDA, from the American Academy of Pediatrics. And all those organizations substantially get their funding from the pharmaceutical industry. Merck makes the only HPV vaccine on the market in the U.S., Gardasil. And so there is this web of lies and this web of misinformation. And it wouldn't really matter to me very much, Bernadette, if this web of lies weren't killing kids.
Right.
But it is. Mm-hmm. So kids die after the HPV vaccine. They become infertile. They develop heart conditions. They develop extraordinary fatigue and pain syndromes. And it's just terrible. And the only good news that I can say is I am very proud that Children's Health Defense now has, together with a private law firm, we have about 9 cases against Merck in courts around the country that their Gardasil vaccine is a fraud. It doesn't diminish cervical cancer. In fact, it actually abets cervical cancer, and there's no evidence that it's diminished cervical cancer in the over 10 years it's been on the market, but the evidence of the injuries and the deaths is extraordinary.
Right.
So it's just, and you know, sadly, the only thing to me that's comparable to what's happening with COVID was HPV. So there's, you know, the analogies, and now they're rolling out the COVID shots to 12 to 17-year-olds. And so, you know, it's terrifying, honestly. It's quite terrifying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. Oh, my gosh. There's so much to talk about. My head is spinning. When I get on the air with you, it's so hard for me to stay focused because I just want to talk about everything. People are getting like text messages from I have to look during the break. I actually had it printed out. I think it was Kroger. I don't want to misname.
Kroger's been promoting this.
Oh, my gosh. And then
everything. Drug stores, grocery stores, you know, free hamburgers. You know, teachers are supposed to be telling their students how they got vaccinated, you know, TV, bus ads. I mean, it is so overwhelming.
It is.
You know, so if you know, you and I, Bernadette, don't, we listen to mainstream media in a way that most people don't, right? Mm-hmm. We listen critically, and we think a lot of it, if not most of it, is just propaganda. And so we don't take it in. But sadly, most people really listen to mainstream media, and they assume that they're being told the truth. Mm-hmm. And if you assume that you're being told the truth by all of the people that talk in favor of COVID vaccines, well, you would go out and get them. And again, the sad truth is just so at odds with what people are being told.
Yeah, and on social media too, but we're going to get to that. I'm looking, I can't wait to go to break and come right back. Everyone, stay tuned. More coming up with Mary Holland. She serves as president and general counsel of Children's Health Defense. We'll be right back. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Listening to One Life Radio. Make sure you check out our podcast and get to know the show at oneliferadio.com.
Oh my gosh, we've got a lot of work to do. My phone is blowing up, you guys. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadotte with Junior in the Mix and Mary Holland. We are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. Mary, you're going to die when you hear this. You probably already heard it because you're so in the know, but someone sent me a message that said that Uber partnered with the White House and is offering free rides to get vaccines. That they saw it on Twitter over the weekend. I can't even believe that. I mean, I can't believe it, but I'm like, oh my gosh.
I hadn't heard that one. I mean, it's just mind-boggling stuff. So there's lotteries for millions of dollars. There's scholarships to college. There's free hamburgers. There's free beers. There's free joints.
Wow.
I mean, it's, you know, and you have to ask yourself, Bernadette, if somebody walked up to you on the street that you didn't know and said, hey, I'll pay you $100 if you eat this or you drink that, would you just do that for $100? Or would you be very suspicious that somebody was asking you to do something allegedly for your own protection that they were going to give you money for that?
It's crazy.
I mean, it's just, you know, to me, it makes the whole enterprise quite suspicious. Like,
absolutely.
Like, you know, this illness, you know, it's a real illness. I don't question that there's a real bug, you know, COVID.
Absolutely.
But, and it can be really bad, and we can talk about why it's been so bad. But why all this pressure? Why now?
Yeah.
Why all these different companies? Why is it so critical? Why the discrimination against the unvaccinated? You know, I was talking to people this morning about, you know, we've had religious and medical exemptions since mandates came into fashion. And, you know, they started in the 1700s. So this is not such a new thing. You know, there's been this idea that vaccines can save people from certain infectious diseases. There's a lot to be said about it. But basically, people have been getting religious and medical exemptions for centuries.
Right.
Over 100 years. And we've never segregated those people. We have never ostracized those people. A school might have records of that. A doctor's office might have records of that. But that was all there was. Now, you know, Bruce Springsteen has a concert on Broadway only for vaccinated people.
Oh, wow.
Colleges are only letting people who have been vaccinated back in the classroom. People with medical and religious exemptions, they won't let them live on campus, and they may allow them to come to class, but they may decide that they can't stay in class. And in any event, they have to wear masks and they have to social distance.
Yeah.
And this is after we've been, you know, we've been proselytized for over 6 months that these vaccines are safe and effective, and they're, you know, 95% effective.
Yeah.
So it's just nothing makes sense, Bernadette. I mean,
yeah.
If they're so effective, what do those people have to fear from somebody who's healthy and unvaccinated? I mean, nothing. They have nothing to fear from those people. And if you're unvaccinated, you're obviously not afraid to run the risk that possibly, you know, it's unlikely, but possibly you might get COVID. So it's very clear that this idea of the passports or the idea of these controls, you know, and tracking and testing, they're serving some other purpose. You know, they're clearly not really meant to serve the vaccinated or the unvaccinated. And it's such a strange situation we're in.
It is, and everybody feels it too. I mean, so many of my friends on both sides of the fence, you know, are like, it's so weird. Everything feels weird. Everything feels off, and that's because it is. It is off. It is weird. What's going on in our country right now is not okay. And I don't even know where I want to start. Let's start with censorship and social media. Let's start there, Mary. What's going on with that?
Well, we are deeply troubled by the censorship in social media. And as you and I have discussed before, we filed a lawsuit last August against Facebook, against Mark Zuckerberg, the founder and hands-on executive, and against the fact checkers, because we believe that Facebook is colluding closely with the government to censor what's called vaccine misinformation. They're censoring information that they don't like about vaccines, that there are injuries, that it's not perfectly safe, that it's not perfectly effective. So that's part of a big part of what we do. And starting last year, Facebook started to put up warning labels on our page, on the Children's Health Defense Facebook page, saying, you know, if you want real information, go to the CDC. Mm-hmm. If you want real information, go to WHO. But they were doing a lot more than that. They were making it impossible for people to see our message. They were making it impossible for people to sign up. In essence, they took away our donate button. And so we made that case, and we still don't have a decision in it. But after the big email trove was released of Dr. Fauci's emails from the NIAID, from the National Institutes of Health, we found further confirmation that there's a direct relationship between Dr. Fauci and Mark Zuckerberg, where they were emailing in February of 2020 about, you know, this great way that Facebook could help the government. Now, we're not sure that it's a written agreement about censorship, but it sure looks that way, Bernadette. Mm-hmm. And one of our allegations is the government is not allowed by law to get around its obligation not to censor speech. The government cannot censor speech. The private sector can, but the government can't collude with the private sector for the private sector to do what the government can't. And we allege that they are working in tandem. We also say that Facebook has commercial interests in vaccines. Zuckerberg has the Zuckerberg Chan Bio something or other initiative. They are in the business of developing vaccines. They're in the business of advertising for the pharmaceutical industry. Mm-hmm. So we think there's sort of commercial racketeering issues there, and also essentially, you know, issues around misbranding and characterizing us in ways that are inaccurate. Mm-hmm. So we don't have a decision yet, but this is really, you know, no government in the world, Bernadette, has ever had the kind of power that Facebook or Amazon or Twitter have to control the narrative. All governments seek to control the narrative. And look at what Facebook and Twitter can do. So this is a level of power that in many ways actually exceeds the power of national governments.
Yeah.
It's transnational, and it reaches billions of people in real time. So we have to be very careful about not allowing those tools to be misused by government.
Yeah, and I was reading a book over the weekend called, this is a book a lot of people are not going to like. It's Scamdemic, and it's the COVID-19 agenda written by John Iovine. I don't even know where I saw it, but it was one of the parts that I want to talk about that was so just blew my mind. And it's called SEME, Search Engine Manipulation Effect, that a Dr. Robert Epstein, a PhD, he got his PhD from Harvard, like you, Mary, in 19. 1981. Are you familiar with what I'm talking about at all?
I haven't read it yet. I'm just writing it down. I will get it.
Okay. Well, it's a, you know, and you know, everybody wants to know what's really going on here. Is this a scam? You know, have we been duped and played, you know, as a people? But this guy, Dr. Robert Epstein, he was a lifelong Democrat and Hillary Clinton supporter. And he monitored Google's search engine results. And to do so, he had a group of 95 people located in 24 different states. And this resulted in an analysis of 13,000 searches and 98,000 web pages. The results, and I quote, they quote him saying, found very dramatic bias in Google's search results favoring Hillary Clinton, who I support strongly. It goes on to say that Dr. Robert Epstein earned his PhD in psychology at Harvard University in 1981, and he was the editor-in-chief of the magazine Psychology Today, and currently he is a senior research psychologist at the American Institute for Behavioral Research and Technology, and he has been a research psychologist for 40 years and published extensively on artificial intelligence and Google, and it goes on to say that he testified before Congress to explain the Google bias he uncovered in the 2016 election.
I've seen him. I saw that testimony. Yes, that's very interesting. Thank you for mentioning that. Yes, he's extremely credible.
Yeah,
he's extremely credible.
But the part that blew my mind, he wrote, I value my country and democracy more than I value any party or candidate. And that's why he came out and spoke against this and said that, and just from his preliminary work, Google is influencing the results for vaccinations and autism, information on COVID-19, and the vitamin supplements. This, as they say, is the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, so, it's the tip of the iceberg. And I think it's fair to say that Wikipedia and Amazon and Twitter are all doing exactly the same thing, Bernadette. They're all censoring information about alternative treatments for autism. They're all censoring information regarding vaccines. And it's dangerous. I mean, it's just really dangerous, and it's anti-democratic. It's anti-human rights, which, you know, call for free speech and free press. So these are very serious assaults on our democracy, for sure.
We should be able to talk and learn about anything. That's how you discover. I mean, that's the whole foundation of science. And I think it's so funny. They say the science. We're talking about the science, you guys.
You're 100% correct. You can't have science. You can't have real science with censorship. You can't.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
A huge part of the reason that countries with censorship are unable to really excel in science, because science absolutely requires free inquiry. And so then I think you have to take the next step and say what's happening at these institutions like the National Institute of Health, it's not really science. It is being commercially driven. And then you have to say, okay, it's commercially driven. Well, who's driving the bus and what are their objectives? And I
absolutely
think that there are objectives around, you know, big gains, big profits, and also gains. Also, it's being driven by sort of they want certain new technologies in place. So the COVID vaccines, the first two on the market in the United States, Moderna and Pfizer, they use this messenger RNA technology. That technology up until now had only been used in people with cancer diagnoses. It was used as a gene therapy. It was used on people who had a poor prognosis, right? It's likely that if the disease progressed, at some point they would clearly die. So the whole calculus is very different than using that technology on a completely healthy population. And as you and I have discussed, these vaccines are now only available as emergency use authorization products. They're not represented as safe and effective. The FDA has not approved them or licensed them. And people have to understand, and the government's not helping here, they are taking very significant risks. There are no long-term studies on the consequences of these products. None.
No.
But the short-term consequences are very troubling, right? So we already have over 6,000 reported deaths. We have over 380,000 reported injuries and over 30,000 serious reported injuries. And we know, Bernadette, that these data are inaccurate. We know that there are much higher levels of actual deaths and injuries than are reported in our federal vaccine adverse event reporting system. So, You know, it's peculiar. You know, if we had 6,000 people die in a particular, you know, a Ford Pinto
yeah.
or a particular General Motors car, that car would be taken off the market by
right.
now.
Right.
6,000 accidents all over the country, it would be front page news, and they would be off the market, and the company would already be starting to think about, you know, its litigation strategy. But one of the crazy things about vaccines is that they have extraordinary liability protection, and obviously the media, because it gets so much advertising revenue from pharma, it's not in the business of being critical of these companies. So,
right, right.
you know, there are many factors playing into the reality that people are being misinformed, and it's about their health and their lives, Bernadette. This mm-hmm. is not about, you know, this is not about your car, or it's not about a new couch. This is about your life. And people are dying. I've talked to many people whose loved ones have died within days of getting these injections, and it's
yeah,
tragic.
It is tragic.
These people were duped. They really were duped. They were told that it was safe and effective. Oh, mm-hmm. you know, everybody needs to get it, you know, to live your life, to be free, you're going to have to get it. And, you know, people are essentially being told, you know, there's no downside, you know, it's
yeah.
a no-brainer, go get it. And it's not a no-brainer. People die after these shots mm-hmm. from a variety of different reasons, actually.
And it's so well said. And as you said, over 6,000 already. If we were talking about anything other than vaccines, people's hair would be standing on end.
It would.
People's
hair would be. If it was anything else, and somehow the country and the world, the people in charge, if you will, have somehow bought into this idea that, you know, it's all about the greater good. And if 6,000
right.
people die, well, it's just the mm-hmm. price we have to pay. And that's, you know, I love one of the phrases that Barbara Lo Fisher at National Vaccine Information Center says is, you know, if you're the one who's injured, the risk is 100%.
Right.
You know, it's not 1% or 2% when it's your death or, you know, it's your child's death or your family's injury.
Yeah.
It's 100%. And the injuries, Bernadette, you know, every Friday we put out on our publication, The Defender, sort of an online newspaper, mm-hmm. we put out the new numbers on injuries, but we also put out stories about, you know, individuals. And, you know, a 13-year-old boy just died after
yeah,
his second dose
Michigan.
Of the Pfizer, mm-hmm. you know, or mm-hmm. an 18-year-old girl at Northwestern had a heart attack, and they tried to give her a heart transplant, and she died.
Yeah.
I mean, these are healthy children,
right.
and their lives have been taken away from them. And
yeah.
it's just so cruel and unusual. I mean, it's just so unacceptable in an ethical society to sacrifice children. And that's what we're doing.
Well, and our youth is being brainwashed on social media 100%. I have a 17-year-old. That was the party this weekend. My daughter turned 17. And I mean, it's just
unbelievable.
And she, thank you. And you know, last night she said something that broke my heart. I probably shouldn't even be talking about it on the air. She said, I don't want to celebrate the 4th of July. I don't want to celebrate it. Our country's messed up. And I'm like, oh my God. Now they've got the young people believing that, you know, they're anti-American even. I mean, or anti, just, you know, right? What am I trying to say here? I get so upset when I think about it.
That I think there's a great deal of sort of media and it basically propaganda making sort of dividing the country and making people
yes.
feel ashamed of who they are and making people feel guilty that, you know, there are problems. Every country has problems. Our country has problems. Nobody's saying it doesn't. But, you know, sort of making people feel guilty for who they are or guilty that they have freedoms, that's crazy. We are
right.
so privileged in the global scheme of things. We are so privileged that we do have freedom of expression, that you and I can talk about these things still on the radio,
yes.
that we can drive around. We've had a kind of assault on our freedoms like I've never seen in my lifetime before, Bernadette, over the
Me
last
either.
Year and a half with this pandemic. There's been overt censorship. There's been overt control of people's ability to travel. There's been overt control over people's workplaces and basically shutting down businesses. There have
mm-hmm.
been overt controls on you know, the ability to worship and to express one's religious, you know, to gather, the right to assembly. I mean, we've had an assault like we've never seen. And even in World War II in the United States, that level of governmental control didn't exist.
Right, I know.
I mean,
it's
never
scary.
Seen those kinds of controls in this country before.
Yeah, and we need to protect our liberty and our freedom, and that's what makes this country great. It broke my heart to hear my daughter say that. I haven't even told her dad yet. She's
all the more reason. I mean, we do need to celebrate the 4th of July, and we need to make a commitment to ourselves and to our families and our communities that we will stand for freedom. That is what this country was founded on. It was people seeking religious freedom. You know, they left Europe. They came here as refugees. And it is that is what makes the United States unique. It is. And it's not a perfect country, and we've done some terrible things. But we do have a dedication to the rights of the individual and to the notion of natural law, that people are born with inherent human dignity and that they have a direct connection with their creator, and people don't belong to the government. The government's job is to protect individuals' liberty. That is a radical concept, and sadly, it's being trodden on right now.
Wow. I'm looking at the clock. We're going to go for a quick break. Oh, my gosh, Mary, it's so great to hear you speak today on the air. It gives me hope. It gives me hope that at least we're doing something to educate. Now, I won't even say educate, just inform people of what's really going on here in our country. Everyone, stay tuned. More coming up with Mary Holland. You're listening to One Life Radio.
On social media at One Life Radio.
All right. Everybody ready? Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior in the Mix and Mary Holland. We are continuing on live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. If you're just now joining us, Mary Holland serves as President and General Counsel of Children's Health Defense. She left the faculty of New York University School of Law, where she served for 17 years, most recently directing its graduate lawyering program. Mary received her Master of Arts and Juris Doctorate degrees from Columbia University and her undergraduate degree from Harvard. She has worked in international public and private law, and she is the co-author of Vaccine Epidemic, as well as the HPV Vaccine on Trial, Seeking Justice for a Generation Betrayed. You can reach them at childrenshealthdefense.org or reach Mary at childrenshealthdefense.org. And Mary, I want to give a shout out for a book that I picked up as well. I'm always buying books. It's called The Truth About COVID-19, Exposing the Great Reset, Lockdowns, Vaccine Passports, and the New Normal, Why We Must Unite in a Global Movement for Health and Freedom by Dr. Joseph Mercola and Ronnie Cummings. The foreword was written by the founder of the Children's Health Defense and your leader, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. It's a fantastic book. It's full of a lot of really great information.
I couldn't agree with you more. We work closely with Joseph Mercola and Ronnie Cummings at Organic Consumers Association, and I agree with you. It's a fantastic book, and I wrote down the Scamdemic book you mentioned by Robert Epstein. I think there are some good books out there for people, and there is a lot of good information out there.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, I like to read everything, you know, and come to my own conclusions and connect the dots. And we've talked about this before, even books like, so there's a new book that just came out called Toxic Legacy, How the Weed Killer Glyphosate is Destroying Our Health and the Environment by Stephanie Seneff, PhD. She's actually been on the show before many years ago. Old books, and they're comparing it actually to Silent Spring, Rachel Carson, all these fantastic books, The Future of Nutrition, T. Colin Campbell, PhD. And you start reading reading this stuff and you connect the dots and you come to your own conclusions. Unfortunately, most people are too busy making a living. They don't have time to read these books. I never did when I was busting my butt when I was younger, trying to build a company, you know, or two, you know, or just work. They don't have time. So they count on the media. They count on people to give them good advice and the truth. And we don't have that in mainstream media anymore. It is absolutely biased. And anyone that doesn't see that has got to take their blinders off.
Well, I just want to say I think your show helps people a lot. And at our website, we put out basically an online newspaper every day, The Defender. And we're covering food. We're covering pesticides. We're covering, you know, big chemicals, big ag, big pharma. Certainly the vaccine issue, the COVID situation. So, you know, and our materials are scrupulously sourced so that everything is hyperlinked. We're not asking you to take our word for things. And like you say, I mean, we want people to come to their own conclusions. And one of the other things about The Defender that I really love is we have a way in which people can post their comments. So there can really be a discussion in the forum, not just one-way information, but two-way information.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I love it. I love reading all the comments. It's we need to talk about this. That's the whole point. That's part that's part of democracy. Everything is on the table. Nothing is excluded. And then you get to decide as an individual what you believe and what you don't and come to your own conclusions. I feel like they're taking away, trying to take our away our process to even have critical thinking in this country.
many people believe that. I mean, certainly some of the things that are going on in education make one think that, Bernadette, for sure.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. So you guys at the Children's Health Defense submitted a citizen petition with the FDA to withdraw COVID vaccines from the market. Yep. What's happened since we last spoke about this?
Thank you for asking. So after we submitted the petition, we invited people to put comments up so that, you know, we could show the FDA that this is something that many people agree with and they have concerns about this. So there are over 28,000 comments now that have been posted on the FDA website. Since we filed that petition in the middle of May, there's been a meeting by the FDA and then one last Friday at the CDC regarding COVID vaccinations for young people. And our focus is on children. And sad to say, Bernadette, it is very clear from those two meetings that the FDA and the CDC and the powers that be plan to just go forward. They are not going to pull back, despite the fact that children are having heart attacks and they're suffering from inflammation of the heart and the muscle around the heart, myocarditis and pericarditis from these injections. And there's also people with allergies. There's also things that are unexplained. But several children have now died of heart-related disorders and unexplained deaths after these vaccinations. But it's quite clear. And the risks to children, Bernadette, are exceptionally low, right? Very few children get sick from COVID.
Right.
And very few children die from COVID. Typically, you know, very few. It, not none. There's a real illness out there, and people do get really sick. Another part of the discussion is that there are you know, there are therapeutic interventions and preventative interventions that we believe have been knowingly and intentionally suppressed. So that's really crazy. That's outrageous, right? That, that our government, instead of making all remedies available to us, has actually been suppressing remedies to apparently feather the bed of certain corporations with which it has very close relationships. But at any rate, the petition is still there. It's quite clear to us that they are likely, the FDA is likely to license and the CDC is likely to recommend. So we are expecting that we will bring a lawsuit against the FDA to allege that it is arbitrary and capricious under the Administrative Procedures Act to go forward with these products where the risks are so patently obvious. And in the case of children, the risks clearly outweigh the benefits. So, you know, we think that the courts are now becoming more and more important. In the past, because of all the liability protections, it was very difficult to make cases that would really stick. But, you know, as much as the media is censoring information about COVID, people are aware, Bernadette, that it's not going perfectly, right? People are aware that there are breakthrough cases, they call them, when people who've gotten vaccinated are getting sick, and people who've been vaccinated are dying from COVID as well as from side effects of the products. People recognize that they're not perfectly safe. People are, the media is reporting about different kinds of side effects. So we plan to move forward and do whatever we can do. I think that the courts are now going to be more receptive than they have historically been. And the Supreme Court made clear in the context of the COVID pandemic that when emergency measures like compulsory vaccination infringe on fundamental rights like bodily integrity, like free expression, like right to free exercise of religion, that the government that is seeking to impose those restrictions must do so in the least restrictive means possible. Now, mm-hmm. One of the things that's tricky about a lot of these mandates is that they're not coming from government. They're coming from the private sector. And this is relatively new. In the past, the only organizations that were mandating things like vaccines were the U.S. military and healthcare institutions, hospitals. And it was mm-hmm. really fairly restricted. In hospitals, it was, I mean, it affected people, but it was flu, it might be
right.
tuberculosis. It wasn't everything, and it wasn't something that was experimental. In the military, it has a history of vaccinating people in the military in a very extreme way. But we're now in new territory, and so there's been one lawsuit in your neck of the woods, in Houston, Houston Methodist Hospital, where over 100 workers said, we don't want to be vaccinated. The majority, thousands of employees had been vaccinated. And they brought a case to federal court saying, you know, the hospital can't force us to take an emergency use product. And the initial decision by the court, the plaintiffs asked them to stop the mandate. And the court said, no, we're not going to stop the mandate. You can go get a different job. You know, the hospital
really?
Has the right to do this to protect its patients. So we know that that lawyer is going to appeal that case. And mm-hmm. I think that there are very strong grounds for appeal that under the emergency use authorization law, it makes clear that people must have the right to refuse. But, you know, this is largely unresolved, Bernadette. These are new legal questions. I mean, we, in my lifetime, I mean, since the era of smallpox, which is, you know, over 100 years ago, there really haven't been these compulsory measures to vaccinate everybody in a population. But that's where we are now. This is an effort to vaccinate everybody 6 months and up till death.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So much to say. We're going to run out of time here. We got to go for one more break, though. A quick station identification, if we can. We'll be right back, you guys. Mary Holland from the ChildrensHealthDefense.org. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
On Facebook, hit like and follow us at One Life Radio.
All right, everyone. everyone. Welcome back to One Life Radio. We are live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, continuing on with Mary Holland. She serves as the president and general counsel of Children's Health Defense. We're talking about the Children's Health Defense update. So, Mary, you know, I was on your website a couple of days ago, and I saw this article and actually printed it out about you recently reported that antimicrobial resistance is one of the top 10 global public health threats to humanity. Can we talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So this was an article that we published just a few days ago, and it's actually an article by Dr. Mercola, the co-author of the book you mentioned about COVID. Mm-hmm. But he's pointing out that resistance to medical interventions is a growing problem, and it's particularly been so during the pandemic. So during the pandemic, not only have people been, you know, using antibiotic medications in a very pervasive way, usually where it doesn't really do anything against COVID, doesn't really help people. But we've also been putting in place disinfectants, all kinds of, you know, things that are anti-parasite, antivirus, antifungus. And this is creating a whole secondary pandemic where when you actually need some of these drugs, they're not going to work because they've been used so pervasively that basically people have developed resistance. Mm-hmm. In fact, they quote from something, the new statement saying that they actually by 2050, they think that this is going to be a bigger cause of deaths than cancer and diabetes. And the article points out that not a lot of research is being done in this area. There's just not a lot, I'm not quite sure why, but that there's not a lot of money to be made. And in fact, because there's so much use of these antimicrobial products and antibiotics, and actually they end up in the wastewater, mm-hmm. that it's being used for animals as well. Antibiotics are being used not only for animals, but for plants to increase profit margins, that we're just creating kind of a perfect storm where a lot of the drugs that we might like to be able to use for specific reasons won't be effective because they've been overused.
Yeah. You know, I've never asked you this question before, and I'd like to now. We've got just a couple of minutes, about 3 minutes. You know, could you tell us, you know, how you became an advocate for improving vaccine law? Where did it start,
sure.
Mary?
Sure. Well, I've always had an interest in health and in medicine. Actually, both my parents were physicians, and I came from a very kind of medicalized background, so I was always interested in health. And then I had a child who regressed, and there had to be some reason, right? I mean, mm-hmm. he had a lot of health issues and cognitive changes and speech changes and movement changes and everything. And, the doctors were like, well, this happens. It's like, no, this doesn't happen. Like, there's no descriptions of this from 2,000 years ago.
Wow.
I don't buy that there's no cause and effect going on. And so I researched, and then I came upon, you know, that thimerosal in vaccines could be a possible reason for autism. So, you know, mercury toxicity looks a lot like autism, actually.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
so that was what sort of started me down the rabbit hole, if you will. And then I just became, as a lawyer, I thought, well, I should use my skill set to try to help figure this out. And it became very clear that there's a system that allows this to happen. And it happens because of not only the money, but very much it happens because of the laws, and it happens because of the liability protections. And so in a sense, Bernadette, I've been seeing for the last 20 years how this perfect COVID storm could happen. I'll be mm-hmm. honest with you. I didn't expect it was going to happen in January 2020. Maybe that was things that I overlooked, actually, but I absolutely have seen over the last 20 years how this particular angle could be used to suppress health and freedom.
Right. Oh, my gosh. I hear the music. Thank you for sharing that story. Just thank you. I'm speechless. So many things that we discussed today, and I appreciate the work that you do and the work that the Children's Health Defense does to protect our children. Their lives are in the balance here, everyone. I've got to go, but remember, and Mary, thank you so much.
Thank you, Bernadette.
You're welcome. Everyone, remember, you get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Protect it.